But because the proponents aren't here, and because I know that this bill is not going to go anywhere through the session, I can read and count and do all of the things that I have to do up here every day. I know that this bill is not going anywhere, but I do appreciate the committee's response in letting me put the bill on so everybody could take a look at it and look at the issue. I know that Secretary Cooper has some comments to make on the bill. I'm not going to really go any further than this. It is a system that I think we can develop over a term of in the next year or two. I know that the Game and Fish is going to work on it. They can do a lot of this in rule. But with those comments, I'm going to close, and I don't know if there's any other proponents. I know the ones that I was counting on are not here.
Thank you, Senator Simmons. Are there further proponents of Senate Bill 10 as amended? Further proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 10? Secretary Cooper, nice sure. to have you back again.
Sometimes it's a pleasure, and other times I feel like Dr. Kevorkian, so I'm not sure. If I might, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to pass out a couple of examples here, and Senator Simmons and I have talked about this, and maybe it would help clear some things up, and I'll be very short and brief, and we'll go from that. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm John Cooper, the Secretary for South Dakota Game, Fish, and Parks. And as you know, we've been before you for quite a few, probably hours now, I guess, on water issues up in the northeast and public water overlaying private flooded land. And as I said, sometimes I feel like against Senator Simmons's bills each time, and I have the greatest respect for Senator Simmons, and it's not a good position for me to be in. So let me just say this. These examples that I passed out for you in regards to Senate Bill 10, example number one, is a situation where we can work with the landowner pretty easily, and we do currently. We have a set of statutes and regulations that allow us to sit down and work with the landowner. This is a situation where the landowner has a 40-acre slough that is contained entirely within lands that he or she owns, and we can work with them. Basically, you can sign a pond access agreement. Some places we even build the ponds on a cost-share loan basis, or cost-share basis. And if that person wants to use it as a fishing pond, it could be a stock watering pond. It might be something that we could build with Ducks Unlimited or some of the other organizations that we have out here to cost share. But if they also want to use it as a fishing pond, we can sign a pond access agreement, and we could stock the fish. The department would stock the fish. And that person then, in order, because we did the work on the stocking, that person would sign a public access agreement. He couldn't charge for it, but they could come in and fish for the stocked fish that the department stocked. The other thing that they could do is we could also give him a permit to stock fish that he would buy from a private source, a source that is certified that doesn't have a disease, and we watch that pretty closely in the department. Or in some cases where we've had excess and stunted fish, we've even given permits for that person to go with his own time and effort and labor, go send some fish out of another private a body of water that the public doesn't have access to or could have access to, but the fishing resources in there are such that we're not hurting the public's right to fish, and we can transport those fish over and stock them in this pond. In that set of circumstances, the landowner could charge for access, come across the property and charge for access. But the fishing that's done in the pond would have to be properly licensed. If you and I were going to go out and fish there, we'd have to have a state license. We'd have to abide by state limits. But we could pay for access. You could put up a little parking lot or something, and we'd have to put a couple of bucks in the pot. The last one is a fish hatchery type permit, which is a situation where all of the fish are purchased privately, and he's doing no stocking from any other public waters. And he's doing it all with private fish, and he, in essence, can sell those fish if they're his fish. And he could charge access, and he could charge a per daily cost per fish. Trout Haven, as an example, is this type of a situation. And so we have that situation. I think now we can work with the landowner. It's really not a problem. That would correspond to in Senator Simmons' bill in Section 10. That would, or in the Senate Bill 10, it would correspond to Section 3.1. That's the kind of tract of land where a body of water is surrounded by, completely surrounded by private property, and there's no public access. Where we start to stray away from our ability to work with Senate Bill 10 is when we get to Section 3.2, and that's example number two that I gave you, and that's a situation where we have, let's say up there in Section 11 at the top of that page, we have Landowner Jones and Landowner Smith, and they share a big 200-acre slough, but it also goes across a road right-of-way with a culvert under there to the east, and water goes over onto an adjoining property. This is the situation we get into, which is also a subject of the lawsuit that you've been hearing me talk about, as to whether or not that's public access. And it's Attorney General's opinion that that would be public access. So how would you put a fishing preserve and privatize the fishing preserve on public water where the public actually has the access? That's where we start to run into problems with Senate Bill 10, and they're the same kinds of problems we've been dealing with throughout the whole committee through this legislature. And then the last example I would give you on that same page is like we have Section 14, where you have a large meander body of water south of Section 14, but it has spilled over and moved on to private property. And in essence, it's still a meander body of water, but it has private property underneath it. And that's the same set of circumstances as the example I just gave you above. The public would have rights to be on the meandered water, would be over a situation where somebody would want to privatize by using a fishing preserve, privatize the lower two sections, lower two quarters, the south quarters of 14, southwest and the southeast, wherever that water crossed over the top of that land. It would be impossible, first of all, we'd have a marking issue. That'd be one issue. But the other issue is that it's public water. And so I just don't think we can have a meeting of the minds, especially with the pending lawsuit on this section in the bill, Section 3.2. There's some other problems, too, but in essence, those are the two biggest hurdles. With that, I'll answer whatever questions I have.
Thank you. Why don't we hold questions and take further opponents and then ask for questions following that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Secretary Cooper. Are there further opponents to Senate Bill 10?
Richard Barnett with the United Sportsmen for South Dakotans, and I'd like to reiterate just what Secretary Cooper said. We have real problems with a system which essentially privatizes public water and the public's fish within it. So for those reasons, we oppose the bill and hope this goes away. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Barnett. Further opponents? Are there further opponents to Senate Bill 10? Seeing none, are there questions of either the opponents or proponents?
Mr. Chairman, what is the charge for a private fish? What's it called? Hatchery? Preserve.
The hatchery license is $100.
And that's annual?
It'd be an annual cost, that's right.
Okay, right. Thank you.
You bet.
Further questions? Senator Staggers.
I guess I'm wondering, why do you have to have a license to have a hatchery?
This would be a private hatchery as opposed to a public hatchery. And it's called a hatchery license because there's several things that covers in the current regulations. One of them would be the propagation of fish, so that it lent itself to calling it a hatchery. But it's strictly private. And you're selling fish to other organizations, or you also might be a situation like Trout Haven, where not only are you selling small fish, but you're charging per day for an angler to be able to fish in your ponds for the fish that you raised, or you might have bought them from somebody else to put them in those ponds. So it's strictly a private endeavor, and so it's a private license that is falls under our purview.
Why a license? Why do we have to have a license?
Well, there's a lot of...
Just have a person go out there and do it.
A lot of things that happen. I don't know if you're familiar with whirling disease. Whirling disease was caused in Montana and in several of the streams in Wyoming because private fish hatcheries were stocking rainbow trout, and fish are prone to disease. There's a whole series of biologists who specialize in nothing except fishing diseases. You can wipe out a wild population of trout in a heartbeat with putting diseased fish on a private hatchery. That's exactly what happened up in Wyoming. It's millions of dollars of impact, economic impact, if you would impact any of our wild stream of fish by putting in private. So our people certify. We have a cost. The department has a cost involved with certifying and making sure that any private streams of fish are disease-free, making sure that we know that if you're going to be bringing fish in as a private entrepreneur, if you're going to be bringing fish in from, let's say, a factory or a hatchery in Pennsylvania, we get on the phone, talk to the Pennsylvania folks. It's a control issue, and it's primarily aimed at disease.
I can just ask, do we have any fish farms in South Dakota, and do they have to get permission to operate? Or?
Absolutely.
We don't license farmers, so why do we
license
fish farmers?
We're talking about wild issues that involve the production of the same kinds of critters. Livestock industry, as an example, our livestock sanitary board basically oversees things like elk ranching. That's a major concern, and we work very closely with Dr. Holland to make sure that issues like chronic wasting disease or whatever other diseases that might possibly be involved with wild populations. Our job, my job as secretary, is to make sure to protect the sustainability of wild populations of wildlife in South Dakota. And so situations involving fish, in this particular case, we ought to make sure that those people do, in fact, bring disease-free fish in here. And there's a whole series of things under Chapter 41.9.7, which cover the responsibilities of people who are involved in private fish propagation.
Either that, or if you're concerned about licensing and want to take it up after the committee hearing, that's fine too. But
well, I'm just concerned about everything today.
Yeah. you said you had one final question.
I guess I'll pass on this one.
Further questions?
I just make one clarification. Senator Hume asked me about the cost of the license. It's a $50 license and not a $100 license. Okay? I got some new license. I can't remember which one it cost.
Ah, yes. With any help, we'll help you with a few more.
Yeah.
Maybe. But not today. Further questions of proponents or opponents? If not, we'll close the public hearing to committee discussion and or action. Not all at once. Sure. Senator Utmacher.
I would move to table Senate Bill 10.
Motion to table Senate Bill 10. Is there a second?
Second.
There's been a motion and a second to table Senate Bill 10. All those in favor of the motion will signify by saying aye. Opposed, nay. Secretary, call the roll.
Senators DeHewitt.
Aye.
Diedrich Elmer.
Aye.
Ham.
Aye.
Utmacher.
Aye.
Reedy.
Aye.
Staggers.
Aye.
Simmons.
Aye.
Hange. Diedrich?
Aye.
8 yeas, 0 nays, 1 excused.
8-0.
Senate Bill 10 is tabled.